back to the Oklahoma Today podcast. I'm your host, Ben Lucian, and I'm so excited to be talking today about the biggest annual Norman event that doesn't involve any kind of ball. A lot of music fans know the initials NMF as shorthand for New Music Friday, but in Oklahoma, these three letters can only ever mean Norman Music Festival, the college town tradition marking the end of the spring semester with a three-day series of concerts and performances. The Always Free Festival has brought hundreds, if not over 1,000, national and local bands to downtown Norman since it began in 2008. This year's NMF runs from April 25th to the 27th. We need a full band of guests to preview an event like this, and we'll meet them in a moment, but first, how about a word from our sponsor? You are called to be bold. You have a right to the best wireless service, high-speed internet, and customer service at a price you can feel good about. At Bravado Wireless, we know this, and that's why we put you and your community first. Bravado Wireless, the power of connection. All right, so we'll talk more about Norman Music Fest in a minute. But first, we have to get through this absolute bear
question of the week. This was insane.
Yeah, the listeners went crazy for this.
Y'all really had some thoughts.
I'm going to say, I mean, it was a little overwhelming, to be honest.
For those who don't know, let's ask, what is the question this week?
The question of the week was, what Oklahoma town would also make a good band name?
And I think the answer, as we discovered on social media, was all of them?
Yeah. Okay. I think we named every single incorporated Oklahoma town and some that are now ghost towns.
I agree. I think that's what happened.
But I do appreciate the enthusiasm. So
yeah.
Thanks for all the great answers, and there weren't any I had to, like, delete online.
Really. That's good. That's nice. Okay. We like that.
So, Nathan, I know you gave this question a lot of thought. What small town? It doesn't have to be a small town at all, actually.
So, like, a lot of my answers were, I had to really work on this one because everything I thought of was in the comments.
Yeah.
In Facebook. So I wanted to come up with something.
Yeah, we're not going
to
have any original answers here.
So I came up with two. One is kind of silly, and one is actually, it really does sound like kind of a cool band name. The one I came up with silly is Pumpkin Center.
Okay.
There's a town called Pumpkin Center, and I think that's
good.
That's a funny band name, uh-huh. Right? I don't know what that kind of music that would be. And then there's a ghost. You said ghost towns earlier, and that's funny that you said that because I thought of Cloud Chief.
Oh.
Which is a ghost town. I thought Cloud Chief would be a cool band name.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And maybe a little pretentious, but.
Well, before it opened as a venue, Beer City.
Beer City. I know. I thought about that, but then it's a venue now, so you can't really. Yeah, it doesn't really work.
It,
yeah. So. Anyway.
Those are both good.
Thank you.
Any genres picked out for those bands?
I think Cloud Chief is sort of an alt-country kind of operation.
Mm-hmm. I can see that.
Yeah. A little, I don't know, maybe Mountain Goatsy or something.
Yeah,
I don't know. Something like the Mountain Goats or, somebody like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cool.
Avett Brothers, something, you know, that's kind of the sound. Yeah.
Senior editor Carly Ibarra.
My first town is Ninica. Ninica. Uh-huh.
Ninica.
Ninica.
Okay. Yeah.
Ninica. It's just a fun word to say. And then
Brian
also.
Brian was born in Ninica.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Hoot Owl, which I did not know was a town until I looked at a list of Oklahoma towns. And I was like, that'd be a cool band, too. That I feel like Hoot Owl is definitely Americana or country. Like,
yeah.
It has to be some
absolutely,
sort of stringed
yes.
instrument.
For sure.
Yeah, for sure.
I Hoot think Owl. There's so many Oklahoma towns that do fit that sort of Americana vibe just because there are a lot of bands like that are named after towns.
I was going to say, yeah.
So it just makes sense. Photo editor Megan Rossman.
Edmund.
Oh, wow. Now, this is one that we did not
or
get
as
an Edmund comment.
I call it
comment.
Paradise.
So what music would Edmund
play? What's the sound?
It would be really fast-paced techno.
Would it have like a period at the end of it or all lowercase?
Yeah, like a lowercase and a period at the end.
There would be a letter backwards, so you know it's cool. Uh-huh.
Yep,
okay,
yep.
Okay.
Or
would they call it Ed for short?
No.
Maybe. But probably just Edmund.
I think Edmund. That's actually a good answer.
I also think Cookie Town would be a good name for a band.
Cookie Town.
Cookie Town is good.
We did get responses on that.
Oh, did we?
Yeah.
Not quite as good as Edmund.
From Cookie Town.
Escape from Cookie Town.
That would be
or
a great
Escape
band.
From Edmund. Yeah.
Escape from Edmund?
I've done it.
Both of us have.
It takes a while during rush hour.
It does take a minute to get away from Edmund when the traffic is heavy.
Kirsten, what is your town / band name?
I liked Nacoma Park because it reminded me of Linkin Park.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Maybe it's a Linkin Park cover band.
Yeah. I also thought about Korn since there is Korn.
Korn.
K to C.
Yeah. Yeah, there is a band. Actually, and the town of Korn used to be spelled K-O-R-N.
Well, when it was there first founded. They're, I know, already a successful band.
See? Yeah. Interesting. What about you, Ben?
I didn't know that about Korn.
Korn used to be spelled with a K.
That's a good fact.
Yeah.
I need a Korn t-shirt like that. Yeah, that would be funny. I have to go with my hometown of the village. The village of
Korn. Oh, yeah.
Now, it's already...
it's almost a band
name. Almost been taken.
Yeah.
But not quite. And the village, I feel like there's a lot of different applications.
Yeah.
Like a lot of different kinds of bands could be called the village.
Yeah, that's true.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's a good community first band.
And
which I'm all about.
If all else is lost, you could just become a Village People cover band.
Yes.
Yeah.
That was our number one aspiration. For sure.
People said so many things online.
Yeah.
This was a popular.
We're not going to name all of them because that would just be me reading a map.
There were some big winners, though.
Yeah. The number one answer we probably got was Slap Out.
Yeah,
that's what
that
was really
good. As shared by Joan Frederick and many others. For Slap Out,
I think it's funny that Slap Out has a population of 8. And more people said Slap Out in response to this question than live in Slap Out.
Such a good name.
It is. Yeah.
It really is.
Yeah. That's definitely some country pop.
I mean, it sounds just like a slap fight, right?
I was thinking maybe a bluegrass type.
Yeah, like a progressive bluegrass, like a Nickel Creek kind of thing. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
This is comes from Beth Weiss. She says, not a town, but a road, Lada Wada.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. Yes.
Lada Wada and No Wada.
Yep.
Yeah. I was thinking sort of a garage rock kind of band, maybe for those.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of directions you can go with that one.
Truth.
Mm-hmm. Yep. David Epp said Kansas. Clever.
Ha.
Thank you, David.
Mm-hmm.
Mary Scott actually went through the trouble of identifying the genres for a lot of these towns.
Wow, okay.
So for country bands, she gave us Bowlegs, Broken Arrow, or Broken Bow.
Mm-hmm.
And then for rock bands, we have Durant, Verdigris, and Blue Jacket.
Oh, Blue Jacket. That's good. Yeah, that is good.
And she also gives shout outs to the indigenous names Apache, Cheyenne, Cherokee, Chickasha, Comanche, Shawnee, Seminole, Pawnee, Osage.
So our buddy Bo Jennings back in the mid-aughts had a band, actually did have a band called Cheyenne.
Oh, yeah.
Down in Norman.
Yeah, you're right about that.
So.
Well,
they were quite good.
We got a lot of messages about how Locust Grove is a band that exists.
Ida Bell is a band.
Stillwater is a band.
Stillwater was in Almost Famous.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sweetwater, which is also an Oklahoma town, was the first band to play at Woodstock.
Mm.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Okay.
They weren't the first act to play at Woodstock, but they were the first band to play at Woodstock.
You're giving me a lot of good trivia today. I like it.
I watched VH1 a lot in the 90s, can I say?
Tim Collard had a good answer. Nowhere.
That is good.
Yeah. Did anybody say Slaughterville?
Yes.
Lots of people said Slaughterville.
Yeah, Slaughterville.
Was popular.
Go ahead and skip to Jason Allen, who said Slaughterville.
From a metal band?
Yeah,
I mean,
absolutely. I mean,
no, that's great. That's great.
That's a slam dunk.
Are those not sunglasses?
Carly's wearing glasses.
Light. They're blue light blockers.
Oh, okay.
Glasses.
They're cute.
Yes.
They look good on you.
From the side, I thought you were wearing sunglasses.
No, I'm not that cool.
You're pretty cool. I don't know.
Yeah, we all think Carly's pretty cool.
That didn't sound sincere.
No, yeah, she's great. No,
we do love Carly.
We do love Carly.
For sure. So Debbie Owen Gibson said Bug Tussle.
Debbie Gibson said what?
Oh, is this really no, this is
I don't
Gibson.
Think this is the Debbie Gibson.
Debbie Gibson.
Gibson, okay.
Yes. Said Bug Tussle.
Oh, there's the winner right there.
That's definitely good.
Bug Tussle is fantastic.
Yeah.
And the imagery that goes along with it.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking a like jam band.
Yeah, like like a fish kind of thing.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Chelsea Peace, I'm going to say.
Oh, hi, Chelsea. That's my buddy Chelsea.
Okay.
Yeah.
Said IXL.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Good.
That has to be something electronic, right?
Mm-hmm. I think IXL. So. Yeah, it's dubstep maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Joy E. Keelan said her name and a town name, Joy.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I like that.
a partial suggestion from her. We already said Slaughterville from Jason Allen. This comes from the Oklahoma State Parks account / Chad. I can't believe Goaty Bo hasn't made the cut.
Goaty Bo's good.
Well, Goaty Bo has made the cut by virtue of you suggesting it.
Another fun one to say.
Yeah, it is.
AJ Mansfield said, "My hometown, Little Axe."
Yep.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's a good one.
Good one.
I think that Little Axe could be like a singer-songwriter that you might hear inside of like Starbucks.
Yeah. Yeah, that sounds. Little Axe. That sounds about right. Yeah.
Performer. Rolita Wade said Nash.
Yeah, I feel like that's.
If you go along with Crosby.
Band? Stills. Okay, that's right. Yeah. That's probably where I'm getting that.
Yes.
From. Okay. Yeah.
David Owens said Lone Wolf. That's a good one.
That is a good one. Yeah.
There's a lot of directions you could go with that. I could see it being someone's rap name, Lone Wolf.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It sounds pretty country, though. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Like I said.
Yeah.
You can take it in a lot of ways. Speaking of something country, I thought this one was a great one. Quentin Kinder of Circle K Ranch said Stringtown.
Yeah.
Yeah, Stringtown.
That's good.
That's
a great
name.
That's really good. Yeah.
I mean, it, literally.
Yeah. I like that.
So, like I said, we could go on and on about these, but that would take forever. So we're going to cut it off here. But I had a lot of fun, and that was a good warm-up for our Norman Music Festival conversation. We've got a full lineup of guests this week. Sherry Jackson is the executive director of Norman Music Festival. Desiree Yerby is doing a lot of booking for the festival this year. And finally, Evan Jarvix is an expert on the current Oklahoma music scene and founder of the blog Make Oklahoma Weirder. Let's go ahead and hear from them now. All right, so we've got a full house here to talk about one of my favorite times of year, Norman Music Festival. Let's go ahead and do all the introductions. First of all, we've got Sherry Jackson, the executive director of the Norman Music Fest. Sherry, how's it going?
All right, happy to be here.
Mm-hmm. And she's joined in the same room by Desiree Yerby. You're doing booking and stuff for the Norman Music Fest this year, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah,
you're just the hip hop and music booking and promotion extraordinaire.
You know, I do all the things.
Yes, of all things.
Things. Yes, so
of all things, for sure. And then we've also got Evan Jarvix of the music blog Make Oklahoma Weirder, Oklahoma music expert, I'd say. Evan, how's it going?
It's going well. Happy to be here.
Yeah, we're glad to have you. So like I said, Norman Music Fest, which is this year, April 25th through the 27th. It's one of my favorite times of year. It feels like a family reunion just because you're seeing all these music people that I've gotten to know through the years. They're all coming together in one place. I'm just curious to hear from each of you, what was your first Norman Music Fest experience like? Can you sort of take me through that? Jarvix, if you want to go ahead and start with that.
Sure. My first NMF was NMF 3. So we don't really number them anymore because it got kind of wonky there during the pandemic, just the year. But this would have been, I don't know, the early 2010s. And I've gone on record about this, but like, the first NMF I went to was life-changing. I credit that experience with really opening me up to Oklahoma music in a way that I did not know it existed. And everything since then has just been an ever-going learning experience. And I'm just really, really grateful for this festival for bringing to life so many voices that you typically have to go dig for. But they bring them up to the surface. And all you have to do is show up. You know, you get to hear all this great music from all these great people who are playing year-round. There's tons of local artists on this thing. Of course, there's big headliners, and I'm sure we'll talk about that. And that has also been a big deal. NMF 3 was when I got to see Dirty Projectors. So that was pretty great.
Like, mm-hmm.
Right at kind of like their height of popularity and that indie movement. So, yeah, no, just big fan. I've said it before, I'll say it again. NMF is what made Jarvix Jarvix.
Right. Wait, have you been to all the NMFs since then, or have you missed any? I don't know.
I've not missed any.
Okay.
No, I take time off and everything.
Very good. The streak is still alive.
Yeah. In some way or another, the first time I just attended, and after that I started volunteering, and so I would show up to the volunteer meetings. I would typically be a stagehand, helping people get on and off stage with all the equipment and everything. Mm-hmm. These days I am an MC. I tend to be the guy on stage who thanks all the sponsors and fans. So I'm going to be back at the Alley stage this year, all 3 days, I believe. Thanking all of our sponsors who keep this festival free of charge to the public.
Mm-hmm.
Happy to do that.
Yes, we should point out free festival, my favorite kind of festival, for sure.
But also initiative for people to donate, sponsor, and volunteer.
Mm-hmm. Yes, always needed, definitely. So Des and Sherry, I guess, what were your first Norman Music Fest experiences? And Sherry, you took over last year, right, as the executive director?
I've been around for 8 years, actually.
Right. Okay.
I've been around since, oh gosh, it feels like, I'm going to say 2015. I think that's right. The pandemic made time do weird, wiggly things.
Yes, that's for sure.
But somewhere around there, 2015, 2016, I came on board. Mm-hmm. My first experience was NMF 2.
Mm.
I missed NMF 1. I had a baby. So I didn't make it out that first.
Except that excuse.
But I made it NMF 2 and I haven't missed one since. I was a fan for several years for all of the reasons that Evan said. I think it was really well-spoken what he said. Growing up here in Oklahoma, sometimes if you didn't fit the mold or you get this impression of what Oklahoma is and a forward-facing front, and coming to something like NMF, you find out that not only are just some of the most talented people you've ever seen in your life here in Oklahoma, but there are all kinds of music and all kinds of humans, mm-hmm. and all you have to do is show up, mm-hmm. and be you, and it's a beautiful thing.
Mm-hmm.
My first experience, because I had lived outside of Oklahoma for about 10 years and then moved back to Oklahoma and been working with nonprofits, had a small baby, but I didn't care, gave that baby to grandma and said, I have a weekend full of things to do in 2000.
What grandma's before.
And just walked around with my jaw on the floor, mm-hmm. That this, all of this beauty was in the same place.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what the number of Norman Music Festival I went to. It was around 2007, 2008.
Mm-hmm.
And I was underage. And I really enjoyed the fact that it was a lot for me to do being underage.
Mm, good point.
It's not the norm, right? Because I started out in a group with JB and I couldn't even go to a lot of our shows because I wasn't old enough to get inside of the venues. So very interesting time. But I would say my favorite memory was when Odyssey headlined.
Mm, yeah, I was there.
I was like, my life. Like, I was
like, for sure.
All I didn't care if it could have poured rain. I was like, long as he on stage, I will be in the front.
Mm-hmm.
But, so yeah, that was beautiful. It was a beautiful time.
Beautiful. Northern Music Fest is a great memory maker, you know? And like you said, like how many of these bands and artists perform at clubs that a lot of the most passionate music fans are underage and they can't even see them. So it is a great opportunity for a lot of music fans, especially the younger crowd. So what about this year? What acts do we have to look forward to? I know, so we're recording this a little early, but it'll come out later. So maybe we can talk about some things that might not have been formally announced yet, but
for me, of course, loving hip hop, I do love the fact that we have more mother
coming. Yeah. And Steph and Flo getting some shine. Mm-hmm. I think he's earned. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Original Flo, for sure. One of my favorite hip-hop acts in Oklahoma.
He's putting out an album this year that I'm super excited about. I've seen him perform a couple songs off of it already, and it mm-hmm. made me emotional, so I'm super excited for that.
I also have this fabulous
list. Yeah, right, we have a flyer. It will be out very soon, so...
Yeah, I always look forward to the flyer drop.
I'm super excited for Husband to come back to, you know, mm-hmm. Norman. And be on the main stage.
Yes.
Yes.
You mentioned More Mother earlier, just a very powerful.
I saw that you put her as your favorite album so far.
Yeah, one of my favorite albums of the first quarter of the year, for sure.
Yeah, it's definitely gonna be a nice little change in like political issues.
It'll be a curveball for people. Gotta keep people on their toes, for sure. And then one of the big headliners is Always, mm-hmm. a band that is really high right now from people who are big fans of music. What was it like to like secure that booking? That must have been a big deal.
So that was really fun. We actually tried for them last year and couldn't make it work. And what made it work this year is that they are playing the very next day after they're playing our festival in Austin, Texas. Sometimes with a band like that, when you can get them when they're moving through or in the area, you can get those things taken care of. Mm-hmm. We've had them on our radar for a little while. NMF, we hope for our headliners, we're really good at trying to take a look at what is new, what's mm-hmm. coming, what bands are rising, and try to get those out on our stages. And Always, that was very exciting. When I found out they were playing in Austin, first thing I did was circle back around to their agent and say, hey, what about this year? And we got a yes. So that
very
was
nice.
a very exciting moment. Kind of my favorite moment so far of the spring was I was tired and got up in the morning and there was no coffee in my house, which is a tragedy. And I headed out to the new Starbucks near my house just to grab a cup of coffee and forgot that I was wearing my NMF sweatshirt. And the barista said, oh my God, do you work with NMF? Do you have anything to do with getting Always here? My friends and I are dying. And that it makes me happy as a member of the team of NMF, when you can get people excited about music mm-hmm. and care about music and bands.
That, in this state, because it's very hard.
That's right.
Mm. Oklahoma's not a music, we're just not a music state. And that's one reason why I like Norman Music Festival, because it's like all the people who love music all together.
Yeah. Well, it's cultivating that sort of that appreciation among people, mm-hmm. I feel like. Definitely better now than it was before Norman Music Fest started, you know. Jarvix, in terms of some of the Oklahoma people on the bill that you've seen, is there anything that stands out to you?
Oh, plenty stands out. This year's a game changer. I'm really, really excited about what I've seen. The NMF folks were kind enough to share some of their outdoor bookings with ahead of the official announcement, so that I would be prepared for this. So looking at everything, I'm like, whoa, this is like, it's so much closer to like if I had the power to like make things happen.
I want you to know I did keep you in mind.
Okay. Well, I mean, it definitely. I'm hosting the Alley Stage, right, as an MC, and I'm like, oh, great, I get to introduce all these bands that I'm betting a lot of people don't know. Friday, I'm seeing Cow Tippers. I'm betting almost nobody knows who they are, but they've started cropping up. They're really good. Stillwater. They're still pretty new, but they've got like a really good sound that's perfect for that stage. And like people are going to get it. They just, you know, don't know about them yet. And so that's like, for me, what NMF is all about. There's always complaints, you know, about like, they didn't book this band, they didn't book that band. But I'm like, well, look at the lineup this year. And you know, there's, I think maybe more long set hip hop and soul and R&B than I'm used to. I'm seeing Courtney LaShell, I'm seeing Rachel Black, I'm seeing Baldilocks getting like full sets. I'm seeing Sunfo on the main stage, which is huge. Like, they've really been hustling, but they've kind of been like a dark horse of the whole emo movement. And of course, Cliff Diver is also on here. They've already been announced. And of course, by the time this comes out, everything will be announced. But yeah, just seeing a lot of really cool stuff. Augmented getting an outdoor stage, Roz getting an outdoor stage. Groucho from Tulsa, like the Tulsa representation is really wild this year. We got Steph Simon getting main stage. And of course, he's got this new Tulsa King album coming out, which is excellent. We've got Casey Steffen is here this year, and I don't know that she's ever played Norman Music Fest, you know? And thinking about the Tulsa representation also just really has me very, very excited. I could go on and on. AO's got a really big spot. A lot of really cool stuff. Psychic Bats. Me and the Hive, which I hear that B. Pichardo might be moving away before long. So, like, Be in the Hive is where I first saw, or NMF is where I first saw Be in the Hive. And I was like, oh, this is a great band. I love what these kids are doing. And I have a feeling they're going to be like these, you know, high school, college age kids that they're going to grow up and this band's going to break up and I need to enjoy them while I can. So, like, go see Be in the Hive while they still can. This is a good band. But yeah, I could go on and on. Hysteria. I know that they played one of the big stages last year, but having them out on the West stage, I think it's going to be really excellent for them, as opposed to the Alley stage. Just really, really impressed. World Peace Death Ray getting an outdoor stage. That's awesome. Muffled Sirens getting a stage, for folks who don't know. Adam Taylor, he's an incredible, incredible talent from, like, the Norman scene. At one point, he had a band called Treason 58, I think, one of those numbers. But the new project, the Muffled Sirens project, is like so good. And another totally slept on artist that like people knew, you know? So I'm excited.
Right. Yay, yeah, needless to say.
I'm very glad that Evan is excited.
Yeah.
Like, I think we know what to write.
We've done our thing.
The Evan stamp of approval.
Yes.
Appreciate it.
I will tell you, I saw some folk perform and it blew me away how good they were and how much they're not getting booked in Oklahoma. So, yes.
Well, on that topic, talk about how important Norman Music Fest is for a lot of this local talent that does have a lot of talent, but hasn't been able to come into a lot of opportunity. Yeah, like, what does Norman Music Fest mean for them?
Do you mind if I jump in for a second,
guys? Yeah.
Because I think that what we know about music in Oklahoma right now is it is rich, it is layered, it is multi-talented. We have bands of every possible genre that are as good as any headliner will put on stage. Oklahoma is... Sadly, we're missing some of the mid-level of the music industry that activates really good music. We have a few venues that are great. We could definitely use more to help nurture that music scene. But beyond that, what we're really missing are publishing houses and booking agents in the state of Oklahoma that activate that music. And NMF, we try really hard when we put these lineups together. I've started working with the national agencies we talk to just try to tell them and put this list in front of them. And I have several this year that are interested in getting from us here's the 25 bands from Oklahoma you should really be keeping your eye on. So we're trying to do our part to make sure we're helping bring attention to the fact that Oklahoma, this really should be our time. Oklahoma's got an outstanding music scene all over the place. So I hope what NMF can do is shine a light on that.
Yes. In your years of experience with NMF, have you, do you feel like the festival is building up more of a reputation for itself outside of Oklahoma?
I definitely think that's the case. You know, we know that that's happening simply because of the phone calls we get sometimes. right? We get phone calls. We have people from other festivals reaching out that want to talk.
Booking agents all over the United States.
Yes.
That want to get their bands on our festival. Yeah, it's a lot. I think we have just so many entries too. Like, you know.
650 applicants for the OCPA call. 650. Easily 600 of those are from Oklahoma, 600 bands. And those are just the ones that filled out the open call. So,
and there's just not enough space for all the good bands that we know of.
As good as this lineup is, it's heartbreaking to take a look at the bands that we couldn't get on an outdoor stage because we could put up 7 stages and fill them all easily.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
Well, for people who, and I know there's a lot of them who really value Norman Music Festival, they want to attend it every year. They want to support it. How can we keep Norman Music Festival such a vibrant part of the music community and free also? How can we do that?
I've got answers, but
I said it earlier.
Yeah, donate,
sponsor, volunteer.
Donate, sponsor, volunteer.
Attend.
Yeah.
Promote.
Yes.
You know,
all of those things.
Yeah.
We'll have our MCs like Evan on the alley stage encouraging people to donate. We'll have QR codes for them to do that at the festival. And he'll probably have a stack of stickers in his pocket to hand people if they do. Mm-hmm. Because we've got NMF is free because of me stickers to hand out to anybody who donates on site. And there, the other way is buy a VIP pass. If you want to be up front right by the stage for always, $100 gets you a front row pass. $200 and you get a front row pass and access to the VIP rooms with all the drinks and snacks. And we like to say indoor bathrooms, which is always a plus at NMF.
Yeah.
So those are ways to support. If there are businesses out there that are interested in pitching in, we'd love to have it. NMF generates over $2.5 million on the weekend, and it benefits mostly our local businesses. So businesses that want a friendly place for music, activities like NMF are a great economic driver, and I don't think people pay attention to that part enough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a great point. Jarvix, you actually, in the year where Toon Yards was booked, you were actually performed on the main stage, right?
With this chicken.
Yes. Yeah. Well, what did that experience mean to you?
Oh, it's huge. It's huge. Actually, I haven't applied to play NMS since then, just because it was such a high point for me.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't know, I feel like I need to like work up to it and like earn it again, because that was just like such a big deal. Being out there on the main stage, we had to, you know, do stuff that I'm not always able to do in the confines of a smaller venue. I mean, we had like a kaiju battle during my set, for instance. So, yeah, obviously, Toon Yards is like a big hero of mine. I say obviously. If you've heard my music, you'll probably hear it. But I love everything about Merrill Garbus, not just musically, but you know, as an artist, knowing how to be a voice for, you know, the underserved people, and just being able to actually meet Merrill backstage was just an insane experience. And that's the kind of thing that would just never really happen any other time. Like, I'm not going to be able to meet one of my heroes unless I, like, you know, pay a ticket to go see Toon Yards in, like, Dallas, which, like, I've done. But I didn't, you know, like, lurk behind a tour bus or anything like that, you know. And this way, I was actually able to share a stage with somebody, with tons of great people. Yeah, like, that was a year that, I think Gee Whiz had a main stage set before she moved out to California and is now like a representative with Sega, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But it's huge to have an opportunity like that. And I'm just extremely grateful for that. I mean, it really just wouldn't happen otherwise.
Right. Dez or anyone else who wants to respond, do you have any tips for first-time Norman Music Fest attendees? Like, well, what can they expect? It can be overwhelming maybe your first time.
Oh, yeah. So just like I used to have a whole, like, whole itinerary I used to give out to people, like what to do when you go to festivals. For one, right? Drink your water. We don't know what the weather's going to be. Mm. I have been super dehydrated before.
Yeah, always a good tip.
So take a water bottle or, you know, bring water, bring a battery pack. If you have a phone, make a list of who you want to see, because festivals can get very...
Get the app.
Get the app, yes.
Our app is about to launch, okay. And it's been revised, and it's got some really nice functions for you to be able to go and
alert yourself. Okay.
And alert yourself, create the schedule. And we've now integrated Google Maps, so you just tap the stage, and it's going to give you walking directions to get exactly where you need to be when. Because we're trying to make sure everybody gets to all the bands.
Something about festivals see. Just makes people sometimes drink and forget.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You just have too much fun, and then such and set is over, and now you're like, the whole point I came down here, you know. So, yeah, stay on track.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And also just notice when you eat, like when you're eating and when you're drinking, because it can get very, like, so much fun where you're like, I didn't eat all day, or I didn't, you know, drink enough water.
Yes.
And I've been to normal music festivals where they've been very cold, and I've been to normal music festivals when they've been very hot. So we don't know what the weather is going to do. Just be prepared.
Right. Yeah, but make some time for some food between all the sets, for sure. And water, always water. Before, during, and after the set.
I get to say this on this podcast. We haven't been able to announce it yet because it's not out there. But we have a lovely new partner in Coca-Cola, and they're providing us some, as a fundraiser for NMF, they're letting us sell products. So we're going to have not super festival priced, just reasonably priced.
Okay,
we will have,
that's what I like to hear.
Tea and lemonade at our merchandise booth. So if you're out, you can come see us, and it all supports NMF.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, that's excellent. I'm glad that came together. That'll help a lot of people out. Well, like I said earlier, Norman Music Fest is April 25th through the 27th. Go check it out if you haven't, or keep your streak alive like Jarvix has throughout all the years. Thank you all so much for joining the show today.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Absolutely. I saw Evan Jarvix at the speakeasy a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
I was there for Story Slam.
Yes, we love Jarvix.
Ow, and I just hit my head on my mic stand.
Yeah, don't do that. Not recommended.
I have to go to the hospital.
They do Story Slam at the speakeasy?
Yeah. Oh. OKC Story Slam once a month. It's actually this coming Sunday as we're speaking. Mm. But if you're listening, you've already missed it.
Do they still move it? Oh, no. I guess they didn't. No, they just move it around for a while, or was no? It used to be inside of Saints.
I don't know, but it's a speakeasy now.
Anyway,
it's a really fun event. OKC Story Slam, look it up.
Yes.
Yeah.
You all want to do some podvents?
Let's do it. Yeah.
All right. So every week we go through the travelok.com calendar and pick out some gems to go through. Is there anyone who would like to go first today?
I'll go first. Well,
thank you, Carly.
Carly,
you're welcome. There are a few relationships that deserve to be explored more than a human and their animal companion. The 1961 novel Where the Red Fern Grows, written by Tahlequah native Wilson Rawls, follows the adventures of Billy and his pups Old Dan and Little Ann as the trio trains to become the best hunters around. It's an unforgettable story, so it's no surprise it continues to touch young readers to this day. After you finish reading it, you can dry your tears at the Red Fern Festival in downtown Tahlequah, April 26th through 27th. The dogs at this gathering will be very much alive and in the prime of their lives. They have to be, because they'll be competing in physically demanding field dog trials. There also will be a car show, 1930s era children's games, and vendors selling a variety of goods and treats. Admission is free. Visit TahlequahMainStreet.com/red-fern-festival for more info.
Okay, 1930s children's games. My dad was born in 1935. That freaks me out a little. What are those games? Like mine the coal?
Hoop and stick.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah.
Not operate the factory machinery.
Kick the can.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Ring around. I mean, they'll throw. Yeah. They'll do ring toss.
Did you say hoop and stick?
Hoop and stick.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where you hit a hoop with a stick.
Yeah. And you keep it rolling.
They did not go through horseshoes. Much effort to create.
No, the 1930s were not fun.
Well, they had limited resources.
Yeah.
There was a depression on, Ben. I don't know if you knew about
that. Yeah. I can tell you from hearing lots of my dad's stories, it was not a fun time to be a child. Wow. That sounds really cool, though.
It does. Wow. And where the Red Fern Grows is just, it's such a part of, I feel like, every Oklahoman's childhood.
Yeah. I'm glad it's commemorated by this festival.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Megan, what is your event this week?
If you're lucky, you leave the casino with a little more cash than you arrived with, or at least not a whole lot less. And you'll generally find the same kinds of things inside all of them. Slot machines, table games, cocktails, and at least one feisty grandma on a winning streak. But on April 26th and 27th, it will be an extra special 2 days at the Cherokee Casino in Claremore. The Made in Oklahoma Handmade Spring Fest is coming to town, and it will bring with it home decor, yard art, baked goods, jewelry, and other items for sale. And this may be the only time in your life you'll have the chance to score a bazinga on the Big Bang Theory, the Big Bang Theory slot machine, and admire a rhinestone bedazzled OSU throw pillow in the same moment. Treasure it. And call 918-530-8132 or 918-342-5357 for more information.
Nice.
I've been waiting for the day someone would work in Bazinga into one of these. Well, it finally came.
Do you guys do slot machines? Are you slot machine people?
I'm not.
Yeah, like penny slots. I don't want to gamble money.
I don't even do that. I usually just drink cocktails.
Same. Yeah. Like, I'll play penny slots until they bring me a free drink, and then I'm kind of done.
Yeah. I drink, and then I eat steak.
Yeah. Agree. But I was wondering if there's, like, a certain slot machine you seek out. Because I always look for prices, right? Slot machines.
It's just whatever the vibe.
Pretty whatever the vibe is. Yeah.
Pretty animals on them.
Okay.
That's something. Okay. Yeah.
I won $40 once off a nickel slot machine that was airplane themed, like the movie Airplane.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so that was like my big Vegas score.
I'm done. I'm quitting. Bang Theory slot machine once.
Yeah. Really? So did you score a bazinga?
No, I just looked at it and it came in handy for this.
Yeah, no kidding.
For this podcast event.
I've never actually, so I've been to casinos, but I've never done the slots.
No. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you're sort of missing out.
You're missing a little thing. Yeah.
Sometimes
they're fun. No, sometimes it's fun. Sometimes
if you set a budget for yourself and you do not exceed that budget, it's fine. But it is just like press button. Press button.
Yeah. I mean, it's both overstimulating and understimulating at the same time.
If Chuck E. Cheese and Celebration Station count, then I guess I have.
Yeah.
Casinos.
I do not have the gambling. Some people get really excited by gambling, and I just don't.
I don't either. I'm like, there goes my money.
Yeah.
I needed that. Yeah.
Anyway, Kirsten, this was a big old side trip.
I jumped the tracks. I'm so sorry.
Kirsten, what is your event this week?
Well, as Draco Malfoy once said, my father will hear about this. But you know what? You should hear about this too, because the Civic Center Music Hall is presenting Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets in concert April 26th and 27th, and fans can see the second installment of the series while feeling the magic come to life in a whole new experience. As the Golden Trio once again soars into action to save their school, a live orchestra will be accompanying the film. And while unfortunately Muggles can't fly a broomstick, operate, or travel by flu powder, this event will be well worth the trip to feel the enchantment of Hogwarts on the big screen once more. For more information or to reserve tickets, visit okcciviccenter.com or call 405-594-8300.
I've never been to one of those like live film concert things where they play the score.
That'd be interesting. I haven't, but I want to.
That would be very interesting.
It's a great soundtrack to listen to, hear it all with.
Is it? Okay, cool.
I went to Legend of Zelda.
I wanted to go to that.
Yeah.
Oh, that would have been cool.
Yeah.
It was a lot of fun, for sure.
That'd be fun.
Nathan, what is your event this
week? Well, this show is airing on April 22nd, and if you're hearing it any time after that, you might be too late, but it's such a good event that I really am excited to tell you about it. If there's ever been a Podvent I've been assigned that I was super sad to miss, is this one, because I don't get to go, because Brittany Howard is coming to Kane's Ballroom tomorrow, April 23rd, as you're listening to this. You may know Brittany as the lead singer of the incredible Alabama Shakes, but her solo work has been unbelievable. Mm-hmm. Her latest album, What Now, is one of my three favorite albums of 2024 so far, as her debut record, Jamie, was one of my favorite albums of 2019. And she's playing the stage of all stages in Oklahoma, Kane's Ballroom in Tulsa. So if you want to see one of the most dynamic performers, incredible songwriters, and musical titans of our current era, visit canesballroom.com right now for tickets. And I mean right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be fun. I'm so sad not to get to go.
Kane's Ballroom. We should do a story about that.
I think you should write it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. I'll get on that.
Okay, cool. That's going to happen.
Maybe we'll see it in the next issue.
I think we will. It's going to be a good show. Yes, that album is so good.
Yeah. Oh, my God. So good.
I cannot get enough of that record. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Excellent. What's yours, Ben? Well, Brittany Howard's coming
up. Yeah, we're going to double up on that one. It is actually music related. So this Saturday's Carney Fest in Tulsa is not exactly a celebration of old-timey pitch tent sideshows, but if someone does decide to show up dressed as a pale-faced jester or strong man in a leopard's tunic, they won't be totally out of place either. The Carney of this fest refers to Leon Russell's 1972 album, an essential release of the so-called Tulsa sound genre and musicians' movement of the mid-20th century. The Carney album features classic jams like Tightrope and Masquerade, and the cover even sports a picture of Leon in his young wayfarer days with ghostly white powder caked across his face and mane, so circus imagery is very much a given. Those who attend this family-friendly event at Tulsa's iconic church studio can enjoy live music from bands and acts that are keeping the spirit of Leon's sound alive. This includes Mike Campbell and the Dirty Knobs, Ann Bell and the Tulsa Sound, Sam Birchfield and the Scoundrels, Steph Simon, King Cabbage Brass Band, and many more. Guests can expect to encounter a gaggle vaudevillian characters, as well as vendor and food booths, but swallowable fire and swords will not be available, nor are they permitted. The party runs from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. outside of the church studio. Tickets start at $49 and can be purchased at thechurchstudio.com. Call 918-894-2965 for more information.
That sounds cool. Mm-hmm. I love that record.
Yes.
Carney, it's so good.
An Oklahoma classic.
Yeah,
absolutely.
It is.
Let's see.
Who's the star of the show?
Star of the show. I'm going to have to give it to just the turnout from the listeners on the social media. All the participation there.
Okay. I'm going to say my star of the show is Michelle Jones, who let me know that last week's Podvent had an error in it. She emailed and called to let
what
me know.
What was the error?
It was the coop party, and I said it was over 2 days, and it was just for 1 day.
Yeah.
That was a mistake that I made, so I apologize.
Yes.
We correct our mistakes here at Oklahoma Today.
Luckily, so we did say that there was something on Saturday.
Yeah. So if you went to buy tickets, you probably realized my mistake, and I'm sorry about that.
But we do apologize for that mistake. Let's see. Anyone else have a star of the show or anything?
Edmund.
I love that band.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Edmund never gets to be the star of the show.
Yeah, they haven't even formed yet. Like, I just like this band. They haven't even formed. They don't even exist, but I like them, and they're my favorite band, and you've never heard of them because they don't exist.
Well, now we've all heard of them.
I'm already over Edmund.
The
band.
It's so gross. Yeah, they sold out.
Well, if you like the show and you still can't get enough, head to oklahomatoday.com or pick up our latest issue on newsstands right now. Send your feedback to oktpod@travelok.com, and we'll talk to you again next week. The Oklahoma Today podcast is a production of Oklahoma Today magazine and the Oklahoma Tourism and Recreation Department. Your hosts are Oklahoma Today editors Nathan Gunner, Carly Ibarra, Megan Rossman, Kirsten Stone, and Ben Lucian. Theme song, editing, and production help by Oklahoma Today's production manager, Bridget Sloan. For more information, visit oklahomatoday.com.
Goodbye. Go to Bo.
I almost started clapping.